Good morning to all the Marvel fans out there listening to today's episode. Welcome to the Marvel Morning Podcast, the podcast where we talk about everything in the MCU, hosted by myself, Gabe Whiteman. If I'm going to be honest here, I usually write down my intros and like say them, like I script them, but I want to actually do something different today and maybe not have them be scripted. So I think I might go for a more relaxed, talkative intro. So if you're new to this podcast, then welcome to this new, relaxed, and talkative episode. Give this episode a try, and if you like it, then consider following this podcast on Spotify. But if you don't follow, then I will call Kevin Feige right now, and he will be in your closet making you follow this podcast. Oh yeah, I know Kevin Feige. Kevin Feige will go around everyone's house that didn't follow this podcast, and he will make you follow. But with that out of the way, we're going to talk about Iron Man, the OG of the MCU and the star of it all. Sometimes, honestly, I forget actually how good this movie is, so there's that, but honestly, there is some things that that don't really sit well with me. So, we'll talk about this movie, but before we do, let's get into the Marvel Morning News. This is the Marvel Morning News, and these are today's headlines. First, it is rumored that Josh Gad has reportedly been cast in Marvel Studios' Wonder Man Disney Plus series. His role in the upcoming Disney Plus original Marvel series is unknown. Wonder Man arrives onto Disney Plus between 2024 and 2025. Next, Marvel Studios has reportedly offered Paul Mescal the role of the Fantastic Four's Human Torch. The other roles of Reed Richards, Susan Storm, and The Thing are unknown. However, it is also rumored that the role of Reed Richards was offered to Adam Driver. Originally, it was rumored that Mila Kunis would take the role of Susan Storm, but she has recently debunked those rumors. Marvel Studios' Fantastic Four releases February 14th, 2025. Next, it is rumored that Moon Knight Season 2 is in development. With Season 2, it is rumored that it will feature a certain Kang variant, Ramatut, and a variant of Kang the Conqueror that ruled ancient Egypt. Ramatut was also shown in the post-credits scene of Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, along with Immortus and Scarlet Sentrine. Although Moon Knight Season 2 has not been announced or have released it yet, it has been rumored that Moon Knight Season 2 will be released before Avengers Kang Dynasty, so Moon Knight can have more of a connection to the new Avengers. Finally, the trailer for Loki Season 2 is rumored to be released between this week and next week. A scene from Loki Season 2 was a post-credit scene in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, which showed Mobius, Loki, and an earlier Century King variant named Victor Timely. Loki Season 2 will be released between August and September of 2023. And those are the four big headlines of Marvel. Now, let's get into Iron Man. Hey everyone, I just wanted to ask to see if all of you actually like the Marvel Morning News. Let me know if you like it or not by either voting in the poll on Spotify or Twitter. And if you want me to change it up, then let me know. I just want a honest answer from you guys to see if you like the Marvel Morning News segment to, you know, hear about all the latest news from Marvel. And if you don't like it, just let me know again by voting in the poll on Spotify or Twitter. Okay, that was it. Back to the episode. Okay, so let's talk about Iron Man. Honestly, there's actually a lot to, you know, actually, I guess you can say uncover for this movie, but I'm going to be straightforward with it. I really don't know how long this episode's going to be, but we'll see how it goes. But let's start it off with the title. Honestly, when they actually, like, showed the intro to this movie, I really liked it. I like how the title has, like, you know, block letters, and it has actually, like, a metal texture to it, and I like how when the title actually showed, you know, Iron Man, it had, like, that metal sound, like, you're, you know, like, crashing metal against each other. I thought that was really cool, and I'm pretty sure they carried that through the entire trilogy, I'm pretty sure, so I'm glad that they did that. I also like how it shows him being captured, and then goes to, like, 36 hours later, you know, like, it shows, something happening, and then it goes, like, to the events of leading up to it, which I thought that was actually a pretty good thing, because, honestly, it also gives, you know, gives the audience insight on who Tony Stark really is, and his personality, so I thought that was pretty cool. Plus, I mean, the whole 36 hours thing, later thing, or, sorry, 36 hours earlier, it, even though it really pulls you in on why he was there, and what is going on to happen, or what's going to happen to him, and all those sorts of things, so I thought that was actually pretty cool. I mean, we don't really get that too, we don't really get that, like, too often in the MCU nowadays. I think it's just straightforward, but considering Jon Favreau directed this, I thought that was actually a pretty good approach. But other than that, I really like that. You know, I guess, I mean, it wasn't part of the intro, but it was still the beginning part of the movie. I also found it interesting how when Tony was being interviewed, he can go from funny and mocking to, like, fully serious in, like, a flick of a switch. Because, like, she went up to him, I don't know the reporter's name, but she went up to him and it's like, he was asking all these questions, and he, of course, he was making fun, or not making fun, but he was, you know, being Tony, and she was like, honestly, I just want a serious answer. And then he's like, okay, I'll give, here's a serious answer. And he went on about talking about, like, the atomic bomb and everything, and, or not the atomic bomb, sorry, the Manhattan Project. And it was just like, he can totally be serious. Totally be serious. And it's like, and I mean, I guess if you're really thinking about it, if you look at Tony Stark over the entire Infinity Saga, he doesn't really joke anymore. Or, well, okay, not anymore. He's dead now. But Tony Stark, like, throughout the Infinity Saga, never really joked around. I think it's just because things got more serious, especially since Civil War. And, like, he jokes here and there. And he still has that, you know, that clever quip, you know? But, like, he doesn't really joke anymore. Like, especially, like, in Infinity War, when, you know, things started going down, he still, like, made comments on, like, you know, him having his own ice cream, but that was about it. Like, he doesn't really have that same humor that he did in, you know, this Iron Man, which is, you know, just some, you know, a little bit interesting. So I was like, huh, okay. I like the drone view of Tony's house. It is honestly one of the best shots of, you know, I guess, as far as, like, you know, showing houses, and really shows how big it is and how technological it is, because Jarvis is covered all over in that house, and honestly, that house looks awesome. Tony's house is literally the best house. I think, I can't remember where it was, I think it was in Malibu, California, I believe. I think that's where it said, but I thought it was an awesome, awesome scene. I also like the scene with the rock music, because after, you know, Tony and the reporter's intimate moment, I'll leave it at that, she wakes up, and that's when the house, the, like, the drone view, or, like, the 360 view of Tony's house goes. She, the reporter leaves, whatever, but it cuts to Tony working on the car, which I thought that was an awesome scene, and especially with the music. If you didn't know, the music was actually institutionalized by Suicidal Tendencies, which, I mean, I don't know why the band is named that. I think that's a really weird and not good name for a band, but whatever, I'm gonna skip past it. But either way, I liked the music during that scene, and just working and having him work on a car is just, like, awesome. It really matches his whole personality and his whole, you know, working on machines thing. And then, you know, I have to talk about this. You know, the Audi R8 scene where Tony, I think this was when Tony was, I think, still working on the Iron Man suit. He decided to put color on it, and then he did red and gold, which is the Iron Man colors now, and so then, then Jarvis was like, this is gonna take 5 hours, sir, and then he was like, okay, and then he went off to this gala, or whatever it is, and it was him and his Audi R8, which is, I thought, Audi R8 is probably one of my favorite cars right now. If I could afford it, I would definitely get an Audi R8. Audi R8 is awesome, but I know this isn't really Iron Man, but Audi R8, if you didn't know, actually is not being made anymore. I remember this because I went to a auto show one of the past years, and I remember they showed, I think it was the last Audi R8 that they were going to make, and it was either like 2020 or 2021 Audi R8, and it was going to be the very last one that they're going to make in that line. And so Audi R8's not going to be made anymore, which honestly I'm really disappointed on. I really am, because I really want that car if I have the money for it. So I'm sure people are probably selling those cars, but still. Anyways, back to Iron Man. The plane scene with Tony and Rhodey, you know, like drinking sake and the airline stewardesses dancing was just an awesome scene, just because it's like he was just being Tony and he's like, oh yeah, let's order can you get me a bottle of sake too? And it's like, no, we're not drinking. And then it just cuts to the stewardesses dancing and Rhodey was just, you know, talking and having a good time, and Tony was just like laying back, like, you know, being all cool. It really just shows the power of Tony Stark. Like, he can just do whatever and he can persuade people, and it was awesome. I also thought the Jericho presentation was awesome, because when it showed like the speech going on, and then it showed like the missiles actually going off, and you know, you actually saw like the missiles, you know, like launching and hitting their horizon with like the smoke and everything. Oh my gosh, that was a cool scene, which I don't know if I put this in my notes, but the Jericho presentation was awesome, and it really shows like the special effects for this movie. And I don't think it was VFX. I don't know if VFX and special effects are the same thing. I don't think they are. I think they're two different things. I don't know. Anyways, main point, the effects were good in this movie. I also thought this movie did a good job representing how Tony was being held hostage. I thought that was a really good way to show it. And honestly, it was a good chunk of the movie too. Maybe not a good chunk, but it was a chunk of the movie. So I thought they represented and showed a good job of someone being held hostage overseas. So I thought that was pretty cool. I also loved the music during the working montage when him and, I believe his name was Jensen, was working on the arc reactor and the MK1 suit, the OG suit, to escape out of the cave. I thought that was cool. It's not like an actual, it's not a song from, written by a band or anything. I think it was a song based off of the music score for the movie, so I thought that was actually a really cool song. So I really loved it. And I also loved the whole sequence of Tony getting out of the cave and escaping. I thought that was just really cool. I liked how it had some funny moments too. Like, I like how there was a part of when he was escaping where he was walking out and he was like, you know, punching people, whatever, and then he got his arm stuck in a wall and he was trying to get it out, and then one of the guys literally went up to him with a pistol and he shot it and it kind of went back to him. It was funny. I like that part. There's that part, and then there's of course the ending where he gets out of the cave. You know, it's almost like a T-Rex scene where it's like thump, 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 and then he's pops out, and you know, everybody shoots at him, everything, and then they stop, and he's like, my turn. And then he like flamethrower, especially with the flamethrower. Honestly, I've seen this movie like 1,000 times, but that scene still gets me. That scene was awesome. Especially how he flew, and then it's just like, and then he just like nails into the ground. It's funny. But honestly, the whole scene, the whole sequence of him getting out of the cave was awesome. Also, to go on to like another note, it's interesting how the beginning of this movie kept calling Tony a murderer and the Merchant of Death, and Tony always shook it off. But then when Tony got held captive and saw what Middle Eastern groups were doing and with his stuff and wanting him to, you know, build the Jericho missile and everything, his eyes opened and actually started to believe it, and hence why he shut down the whole weapons division, because that's the first thing he did after he went back home, was he called for a press conference, and which I'll talk about that scene, because that scene was funny. He called for a press conference, and he shut down the whole weapons division. And the scene I was talking about, where it's like, the scene was funny, was the part where he goes into the car, and he's like, I want two things. One, I want a bacon cheeseburger. And second thing, and then Pepper Potts goes like, ew. And Tony's like, no, it's not what you think. I want to call for press conference. I thought that scene was so funny. That scene was awesome. Anyways, but I just thought it was interesting how, you know, his whole mindset flipped as soon as he saw what's actually going on. And I think that's sparked and caused the whole development of Tony Stark. So I thought that was actually really cool. I also liked how they used practical effects when Pepper Potts was changing out the core with Tony. I think it was much better than doing that than using CGI or something like that. So, like, I mean, obviously, I think even if they use CGI, I don't think they could do that because Pepper, like, actually put her hand in his chest, like, into, like, the metal tube where the arc reactor is. So, like, even if they did CGI, I don't think they could do that. So I think using practical effects was the way to go. But, I mean, okay, I'm gonna be honest here. The practical effects for it was, like, it was kind of obvious. Because if you didn't know that scene used practical effects. And the practical effects was a bodysuit or whatever. And that was on the table. And then the shoulders up from on Robert Downey Jr. was put through a hole or whatever. So then when they go back into the film, they can use whatever, some sort of effects, and so it actually looks like his whole, actually like Tony Stark's body. And so that's how they did that. But it was kind of obvious they did that, just because they did a good part, like, making it look like his actual body. But two, his nipples were very, very spread apart. Like, very spread apart. Like, almost on his ribs. So, it was kind of obvious, but it was still a cool scene how it was, like, actually Pepper going in and, like, changing out the arc reactor. I thought that was a pretty cool scene. Had good practical effects. And then I was a little thrown off at the scene where Tony meets Rhodey after being held captive, because he asks Rhodey to go in on a project that he's working on, which ends up being Iron Man, the whole Iron Man project. And then when it shows Tony working on it, one, why is Tony asking for him to work with him on the project? And two, that scene could have easily been left out of the film and it would still be normal. Like, seriously, that whole scene with just asking him to be on the project, it just doesn't make any sense to me, because I don't know, like, why would Tony even be asking Rhodey to go in on a project? Like, yeah, I get Rhodey's in the military and he's into the, I think he's actually in, like, the weapons division or something like that of the military, or I think he's actually in the Air Force, but anyways, Air Force, military, but I don't know why he would ask Rhodey to go in on it. I don't know if maybe he wants, like, some weapons that he wants in the suit, maybe, I don't know. I just don't get that scene, and it doesn't change anything. It just, he just asks him, Rhodey says no, and he goes on about his day. So it's like, that scene could have easily been taken out, and the film would have easily been the same. But whatever, it is what it is. The film's turned out great. And then I still laugh to this day at the scene where he tests out the rocket boosters for the first time. Man, that scene was awesome, especially when his robot helper blasts him with a fire extinguisher. The whole scene was awesome. I think I even remember my first time watching Iron Man, and that whole scene made me laugh. It was just the best scene out of that whole movie. It was funny, the whole scene, especially when when Tony keeps, like, egging on to the robot, because he has a fire extinguisher, and he kept moving, and Tony's like, ah, I'm gonna donate to you to City College if you blast me with that thing, or something like that. I remember he says that, but I thought that scene was just awesome. That scene was funny. And then it was just, man, I could probably talk a little bit more about this scene, but I need to move on. There's no way that there are any suit up scenes or any suit up montages that are better than the ones in Iron Man. I mean, come on. Actually, I will give it this one. Iron Man 2 had a good suit up scene in the beginning. I think if I schedule this right, Iron Man 2 should be out after the Iron Man episode, but I think they're going to be released in the same day. I think, maybe, we'll see how it goes. But anyways, Iron Man 2, I will give it credit for having a good suit-up scene, because that one was with the suitcase, where he just kind of like carries it, puts it on his chest, and then it like unfolds and is literally being put on around him. So I thought that's a good suit-up scene. But other than that, the suit-up montages and the suit-up scenes in the first Iron Man are the best. Now, I know some of you are probably going to be like, what about the Iron Man suit-up scene in Avengers Infinity War? Dude, don't even get me started. That was such a Superman ripoff. It really was. Especially with him taking his glasses off. It's like, really? Come on. I like the nanotech suit. I do. It's just that scene. I'll talk more about that scene when we get to review Avengers Infinity War, but it's like, come on. Come on, dude. And then the whole ice thing is something that you would never think about. That was something I noticed from this movie, is the whole ice thing. So I didn't really think about how the higher you go, the cooler it gets. Because, you know, it's a whole altitude thing. It's just something that you never really think of. Especially, like, that's why there's snow on mountains, obviously. So it's like, I don't know. I thought, especially when doing this movie and he goes up to, like, the space or whatever, it really makes sense. But now, looking at other movies where they go into space, like Avengers Infinity War, for instance, there's no ice. Like, you realize there's no ice. Iron Man doesn't get ice. Spider-Man, when he gets the iron spider suit for the first time, nope, no ice. Like, it's just in this movie. I thought that was really interesting and really funny. I think that would be a good choice of plot if they did that in the other movies when they went up to space, but no. Nope. But it's okay. It is what it is. But either way, it was an interesting thing that actually adds a big plot addition, so I thought it was still cool. I also like the scene where he uses his arm to blast the windows out due to his, like, reflection of himself, just because it's like, he was, I think, if I remember right, there, it was the scene after he went to the gala, and then he met Obadiah Stane there, and he's like, who do you think called the mental warning on you, Tony, or whatever, you know, where it was revealed that Obadiah is kind of evil, and to Tony, and he called that mental alarm, or whatever, he called that mental alarm on Tony, and then he kind of stood frozen, and so then that's where that scene came in, where he was just working on his arm blaster, and I think he was testing it out, and then he saw the reflections of himself, and he blasted him, and it was just like, he didn't like what he saw and what he was doing. Like, he thought maybe he was going a little bit insane, or he just didn't like what he saw, because he caused destruction, and even though he's making this Iron Man suit and he's going a different way, it's still like, you know, he still caused destruction and he can't go back on that. So I thought that was a good, you know, like almost like a thematic scene. So I thought that was really cool. I also like the military aspect of this movie, especially when it came to the scene with Whiplash and 1 and 2 to take down like the civilian equipment. I think when you look at the bigger picture and how close of a bond Rhodey and Tony have, the military aspect is necessary for the story, because it's like, I don't think the movie would be the same without the military. And before you get, I think I should have probably explained this, but before you get confused, because I did say Whiplash, if you remember, Iron Man 1, there was a scene with two F-17 fighter jets, and their code names were Whiplash 1 and 2. Yeah, because, well, and then some of you might have been confused because in the second movie, the villain was Whiplash, which is pretty funny. But anyways, at the end of the day, the whole military aspect is the thing that kind of is just a big part of this movie. I think that's part of the reason why maybe the second one didn't do as well, and why the third one was just a huge letdown. At least in my eyes, they were. I still like 2, but 3 was a huge waste of time. Like, they should have just ended it after 2. The third one, you know, it brings some, like, you know, conclusion and almost like a next chapter for Iron Man, but still, it shouldn't have been made. So there's that, but I'll talk about that later. Iron Man 2's episode is next after this one, but the episode about my review on Iron Man 3 probably won't be out for a little bit, because that's in Phase 2, and if you didn't know, Season 1 actually is, for of the Marvel Morning Podcast, Season 1 is going to end with the MVM Awards Show, which stands for the Most Valuable Marvel Awards Show, where basically, it's like the Oscars, but for Marvel, where you can just vote in each category and see who wins. So, and you can actually vote now until May 31st on the ballot posted on my Twitter. So make sure to vote on that. I don't know when season 2 is going to happen, but it will happen. Trust me, I'm reviewing every Marvel movie, every Marvel TV show. I'm reviewing everything. So just hold on. I don't know when season 2 is going to happen, but it will be soon. I'll come out with some sort of announcement. Anyways, back to Iron Man. I noticed the wipe effect for like the transitions wasn't really doing it for me. I think they could have done a lot better with that transition, because I think if you watch this movie on TV, it puts in commercials like where the wipes happen, and I think that was intentional. I think they were like intending this movie for, I think I've seen it on TV too many times to be comfortable with it. And so for me, I think they were just like too comfortable with, or not too comfortable. I think they just kind of almost made it intentional for TV. Like, so if you don't know what a wipe effect is, it's when there's a scene, and then if it wants to transition, the wipe effect basically has a black screen, and it moves to the left to with the next scene next to it, and so it looks like a wipe effect. So, and I didn't really like it, because it's a really, really cheap transition. It's like something in iMovie you would do, and I didn't like it because of that. And again, with that wipe effect, it doesn't get shown on TV. It's like, especially during that one scene when Iron Man comes back from, I'm pretty sure, exploding the Jericho missile and, you know, preventing all those Middle Eastern civilians from being killed by the same guys that actually kidnapped and held hostage Tony Stark. After that whole mess, he came back home. He was taking off his suit, and so Pepper Potts came in, and he's like, "Are those bullet holes?" And then, when I watched it on TV, that's where the commercial happened. And then once the commercial was over, then it went to the next scene, which is Obadiah Stane being in that same Middle Eastern place, and dealing with the main guy that held Tony Stark hostage. And so I think the whole wipe effect was just kind of a placement there for when you actually stream it on by yourself or watch it on DVD. So I don't know. I just, in the end, I don't like the wipe. I really don't like it at all. I think there could have been a better transition or something. I don't know. I also like the effects with the device that OpenAI Stain uses for the whole noise thing. You can see like the veins and just everything. I just like how, I don't know, I think it's like a bit of the timing and the effects. Obviously, I think that was definitely VFX for sure, but I thought it was just really cool how he flips open the device, and then it turns blue, and then you can see the veins on whoever he was using it on, which was the leader of the Ten Rings, which, spoiler alert, it reveals that those aren't actually the Ten Rings. They just took the name from the actual guy from Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings. Anyways, but he flips open the device, and you see, like, the veins of the leader of the Ten Rings that took Tony Stark hostage, and you can see them, like, going up, and, you know, like, so it's, like, obvious that he is affected, and he's actually paralyzed at short-term, and you can also see Blue laying up from Obadiah Stane's ears, because he has the earbuds, to not have him be paralyzed, which I thought was actually really cool. I thought that was a pretty cool effect. And then I have to mention this because I've watched that scene so many times and I still can't get it. I know he's in an iron suit, but like, I still don't get it. How did Ironmonger survive that fall? The scene where Ironmonger and Obadiah Stane, but when Ironmonger and Iron Man fly together, and Ironmonger it was able to catch Iron Man, and then he's like, "How did you solve the icy problem?" And then Obadiah Stane's like, "Icy problem," and then he powers down and he falls. Iron Man is still flying, luckily, because he upgraded his suit, luckily. But Obadiah Stane just falls, and it's like, how did he survive that fall? It's like Iron Man just kind of he was running on like emergency backup power, but he was like keep going down and down and down until he goes onto the rooftop of the laboratory with like the giant arc reactor, and then Ironmonger was just there. And I'm like, there's no way he survived that. There's no way, it's impossible, because yes, I know he has Iron Man armor, but there's no way that makes him invincible to gravity. Like, that would severely kill him. Like, okay, think about Captain America Civil War, for instance. The scene where Vision was going to, I think, use his beam on the Falcon, it accidentally hit Rhodey's chest armor, which took out the arc reactor. So then that made Rhodey flying down, and he couldn't move or anything, and he just crashed to the ground. And because of that, it left Rhodey paralyzed, or short-term paralysis. I mean, almost long-term paralysis. But anyways, he was basically paralyzed, and he was, like, barely alive. So how did Obadiah Stane survive that? There's no way in hell that he could have survived that. There's no way. He would definitely get whiplash. Like, there's no way that he would die. That there's no way that he would survive. He had to have died. But of course, somehow he survived. I'll stop ranting about it because it's like, I don't know. I just kind of like, there's no way he shouldn't have lived. He shouldn't have lived. And then the final thing I will say about this movie is that I thought it was also a little corny and cheesy with Pepper, you know, saying the line of like, "You'll die!" It's like, because it was that scene where Tony told her to turn on the arc reactor so it can, like, blast the roof. And since it's electricity, it'll, like, overcharge the suit and electrocute Obadiah Stane, and that's how he died. Well, he fell into the arc reactor afterwards, after he was electrocuted, but he died. But it's like, she kept turning it on and everything, and it's like, Tony was like, "Push the button," and Pepper's like, "You'll die," and I thought that was just it's cheesy and corny to me, just because it's like a classic line of like, "You'll die," and I don't know, I just thought it was like really cheesy and corny. It really was. Cheesy and corny is what I'll say about that. But honestly, that was actually all my notes for Iron Man. Right now it says that it's at 30 minutes, but probably once this episode is done editing and everything, it'll probably be a solid like 35 minute episode. So I thought this was a good review on it. But those are all my notes. So, yeah, I guess we will just get and close this episode out, and that'll be it. So yeah, let's just close this episode out. Okay, let's take this episode to a close. Marking this movie as the start of the MCU sets this movie up with very high expectations. Yet, this was in 2008, so you would think that you shouldn't expect too much, right? Well, you're actually wrong. This movie exceeds those expectations, even with it being a 2008 film. Even now, in 2023, trying to watch this movie and trying to give it a grade is easy, considering it still holds the standard of being a really good film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. When watching, there is nothing that you can really gripe about, since the movie provides a straightforward approach to the origin of the legendary Iron Man character. However, I am not saying that this movie is perfect, because there can never be a movie that is truly perfect. With that being said, you can still find things wrong with this movie, like myself did. Although this is true, Iron Man still holds the gold medal for being one of the best MCU films, not only in the Infinity Saga, but the whole MCU as well, especially considering how recent MCU projects in Phase 4 have been. Taking all this into account, you can definitely watch this movie over and over again, and if you try to compare this movie to some of the Phase 4 projects, Iron Man easily takes the win over each match. If you want to watch a good movie with action, development, humor, and story, then this movie is the one. Even your dad will like it. Overall, this movie goes on par with the high expectations and will never disappoint, even if you watch this movie 10 years in the future. And so now, I will give you my final score of Iron Man. And so, my final score of Iron Man is, drumroll please, 9 out of 10. And so, honestly, after what I just said, 9 out of 10 is pretty fair. I think there is some things that I didn't like about it. I think the main thing was that Ironmonger survived that fall, which it didn't show him, like, activating his suit again and, you know, kind of gliding down. No, he just fell. So it's like, I think he should have died right then and there. So there's that. There was some dialogue that I was kind of like not really fond of, and I didn't like some of the transitions. So I think, honestly, I think 9 out of 10 is a pretty fair score. Comparing to all of the other movies in the MCU, I think this is almost like a standard. And so if you compare MCU movies to Iron Man, and if they're not, and if you like Iron Man more, it really shows how good of an MCU movie it is. It shows that the other one is bad and this one is good, because Iron Man is good. Here it is. Like, if you compare it to Avengers Infinity War, honestly, I would probably put that movie against Iron Man, because those are two competitive, awesome movies. But we'll get into Infinity War later. But yeah, I think 9 out of 10 is pretty fair and pretty generous. So honestly, that wraps up today's episode. So be sure to follow this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Also, make sure to follow this podcast on all social media, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, I forgot about that one, at Marvel and Podcast. And if you want to donate to the show, then all links will be in the show notes. But yeah, that was today's episode. I will see you next week. And again, if I did this right, then this Iron Man episode and Iron Man 2 review episode should be up in the same day. And so if I remember right, next week should be the next movie in this MCU timeline, which is Incredible Hulk, I believe. Yeah, it should be Incredible Hulk. That will still go on. But as you may know, there is a poll on the Twitter because I asked you guys a question of when I should do the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 spoiler review. And so if you didn't know, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 came out recently, and I saw it early, and so my instant reaction episode to it is actually out now, so go check it out. I'll link it down in the show notes. But I did a poll for you guys on Twitter, to see when I should do the spoiler episode and like full spoiler talk. So right now I'm gonna actually try to adjust the schedule, so I will put out a new schedule here in a little bit. But I honestly haven't seen it, but I'm pretty sure the spoiler episode for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 will probably be out this May. So, but I'm not certain. I have to take a look at the poll. But anyways, I just wanted to let you guys know that. Thank you for today's episode. Again, follow this podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast. Follow this podcast on Marvel and Podcast. And I guess I will see you next week. And I'm pretty sure it's the Incredible Hulk review. Yeah, that's it. Bye.